Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Are you ready for the word today? Are you ready for the word today? Come on, it changes our life. Are you ready for God's word today? Amen. Here's what it says. God also bearing witness with both signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. You heard two of them in operation earlier. There are nine. You heard a message in tongues followed by the interpretation. That's not pre-planned, if you noticed. That message was perfect and went in line with what we sang this morning to God and in preparation for what he wants to do among us. But it says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders. How many of you know we serve a miracle-working God?
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And miracles were a very important part of Jesus' ministry. He's still working miracles today. And it's my delight and privilege to introduce to you someone that is a dear friend to this church and this ministry. We've gotten to know her over the years. And I'm just going to be honest. I've never said it to her, but I'm going to tell y'all, she is one of my favorite preachers of all time. She has an amazing message for you this morning, and God is going to use her mightily. Would y'all please welcome to this platform, Miss Marilyn Neubauer.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, that's better. This is an awesome church. I just love coming here, and I'm so honored to be back. And thank you, Pastor Josh and Marcia, for inviting me to come again. And I like what Pastor Marcia was saying, that, you know, nothing's impossible with God. All things are possible. So did you come with an open, receptive heart today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, it's been a busy schedule for me since I was here last time. I've actually preached now in 46 countries, so it's just so great. I don't have time to share so many testimonies, but if you ever want to be on our mailing list, you're welcome to get one of the partnership cards on the back table. But it's just amazing. Now, when you serve God and you let him be what he wants to be in your life, you will be amazed at what he will do in and through your life. I mean, you will just be amazed. I have a tool table out in the foyer. I like to call it a tool table because, you know, we have to, when a carpenter builds a house, he has to use tools, amen? Well, for us to build our faith, we have to use tools. So this morning, one of my tools, I'm going to be kind of preaching from one of my tools today. This is actually a laminated card. It's designed to go in the bathroom shower, so that you've got scriptures first thing in the morning. There's scriptures on both sides. One's for health and the other is for wealth. And I just have mine hung on the opposite side where the spout is so the water doesn't constantly go down there. But that's for your shower. And there's a powerful little healing book in the back too. It talks about how to take God's medicine, the dosage of the medicine, having bulldog tenacity. You know, you've got to fight the good fight of faith, amen. You've got to be a fighter. Wimpy people don't win. My message this morning is titled, Don't Let Logic Defeat You. Logic and reasoning can be your greatest enemy. It's so easy for sometimes we just get, well, let me think this through. No, you don't have to think it through. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit and trust and obey. Be quick to obey the Holy Spirit. Amen. In John 16, verse 7, Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who is our teacher, our guide. So, Lord, help us as we look into your word today to see what perhaps we didn't see the time before. And help us to hear what perhaps we didn't hear the time before. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So in John 16, verse 7, I'm going to read mine out of the NIV. It says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, say the Helper. The Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit was sent for a specific purpose. His purpose was to be a helper in living that victorious, triumphant life that Jesus bought and paid for. Amen. In John chapter 16. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into half truth. No, all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, that is what he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So you never have to be caught off guard. We have a helper on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and me. One third of the Holy Trinity actually lives inside of us. We have God the Father, God the Son, who live in heaven, and God the Holy Spirit lives in us. That means God has imparted one third of himself to live inside of you and me to be our helper. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. We should always be living that victorious life because we have the Holy One living on the inside of us. And you know, you can trust the Holy Spirit because for one reason, the Bible says he is the Spirit of truth. He only knows truth. He only interacts with truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And another reason why you can trust him is because he is the Holy, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Do you know that gives us the ability to live a clean life? Not perfect, but clean. Amen. We can live a clean life. To me, that is just beyond awesome that one third of God lives on the inside of me. But we need to learn, and it comes from practice, learn to follow the Holy Spirit. Sometimes if you're making a decision about something and you just have this uncertainty or there's just a negative sense on the inside of you, you stop and you don't take one step forward until you have peace. God always guides you through his Spirit by peace. It's just like if when you drive a car and you come to a red light, if you continue through the red light, you will have a collision. Amen? It's the same way spiritually. If the Holy Spirit is giving you that unction to not do something and you violate it, you are going through a spiritual red light and you will have negative consequences. Sometimes when something negative happens, people say, "Now, why did God let that happen?" No, you're the one that went through the red light. Always go when it's green. That means there's peace on the inside of you. Don't let logic and reasoning defeat you. Don't reach into your mind for an answer. Don't reach into your mind for the solution. You reach within. Always reach within. You'll have that green light. I want to share with you, when I first started learning how to listen and trust and follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give a couple testimonies this morning. This one took place many years ago. And to tell you how much I paid my rent at that time, you'll know how long ago it was. But my rent back then was $278. And my income was about $320, $10, $20. So I didn't have a lot of money. But I had an emergency situation came up, and I had to use almost all of my rent money for this situation. And when I came back home, I said, "Lord, tomorrow my rent is due, and I only have $56 left, and I need $278. So it was very easy for me to say, "Well, what are we going to do about that?" Now, when you get born again, you enter into a sonship relationship with the Lord. But when you are faithful in your tithes and offerings, you enter into a financial partnership with the Lord, and he becomes your CEO. So when you do that and you're faithful, it's easy to say, "Okay, what do we do, Chief?" And I asked the Lord, "What are we going to do about it?" And immediately he said to me, "Of the 56, give 30. I said, "Yes, sir." And I wrote out a check for $30. He told me who to give it to. It was 9 o'clock at night. So I said, "I'll just mail it on my way to work in the morning." I worked in a church. And when I got to church that morning, 5 minutes after I got to church, somebody walked in and said, "Marilyn, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give you this." And he handed me an envelope. And inside was $300. $100. Now, I want to show you some PowerPoint. I want to look at that first picture here. Now, so often when the Lord says to give, if our mind isn't renewed and we're not fully trusting in the Lord and we let logic and reasoning get in the way, we think, well, if I have 56 and God tells me to give 30, that means I'm only going to have $26 left. That's what logic says. But when God says give, because so often if you're thinking logically or reasonably, you're going to think subtraction. God never talks about subtraction. He is a God of multiplication. So when he says give, he's not telling you to subtract. He is telling you open the door because I want to multiply. So if you think multiplication, look what happened when I obeyed and God took my $30 and he multiplied it. He didn't subtract. Never think subtraction. Don't get into that logical realm when God is speaking to you. You understand what I'm saying? Because he knows, you asked him, what can I do? He's got the solution, but that solution will not manifest if we don't trust and obey. Amen. So look at the next slide. Look at the difference. If I think logically, I'm going to have $26. But if I trust God, look at the difference. There's a mega difference between 26 and 300 if I don't let logic get in the way. Because if you go with logic, you're only going to have $26, and then you're still going to have a problem. You're going to just live defeated over and over and over if you don't learn to just trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The Holy Spirit only speaks to you what he told the Father to tell him to say to you. You can trust what you hear on the inside. Amen. So does that help you to understand? Don't let logic defeat you, because it will defeat you every time if you give place to that. That can be your greatest enemy. So don't go there. Don't let logic defeat you. Amen. Now, in light of healing, so often I'll be talking to somebody who needs prayer for healing, and they'll say to me, well, yes, Marilyn, I believe in healing. I know God. I really believe God is going to heal me. Going to heal me. Well, Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes you are healed. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. So if he says you are and you were, then you is. It's not something that's going to be. It is already a realization, but it begins in the heart of the Spirit. So you have to see yourself as the Word says you are. But if people are thinking God is going to heal them, what they are doing is they are waiting for something for God to do. Amen? Now, I'm sure every one of you here today, we've all been in either a doctor's office or in a dentist's office. And when you sign in, the receptionist will say, thank you very much. Would you please have a seat in the waiting room? What happens in a waiting room? What is the purpose of the waiting room? Wait. 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 You might wait 10, 15, 20, 35 minutes in a waiting room, but nothing happens in a waiting room. If you are waiting for God to do something, if you are waiting for God to heal you, you might wait 10, 20, 30 years until you get a revelation that you is healed now. Amen. So don't sit in a waiting room when you need an answer from God, when you need something to change in your life, because faith is always moving. To wait upon God does not mean to be just stagnant with your faith. Faith is moving. We have to live by faith. We have to walk faith, think faith, breathe faith. We have to live by faith. Faith must always be moving. Faith is always on the edge. I'm standing back here, and I'm very comfortable. I know I'm not going to fall. But if I walk over here on this edge, there's no way I'm going to pick up this foot, even holding on here at this moment. That's when faith is working. It's always on the edge, knowing I've got to trust God. Back here, comfort zone. Things don't happen in the comfort zone. It's when you're on the edge that you know you've got to believe and trust in the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Because he's in you. He's with you. He wants you to have the victory. Now, I think when I was here last time, I shared my testimony of when I was healed of cancer. Y'all remember that? I had a miraculous healing of cancer. Now, every year, I go to the doctor for a yearly checkup. And this one particular year, it was 9 years after I was healed of cancer. And I had gone to the doctor for just my annual checkup. After the exam, the doctor said, "Marilyn, how do you feel?" I said, "I feel great." She says, "Well, today, I detected a tumor." You know, sometimes there's things going on that you don't even feel like you're sick at the moment. And she said, "I detected a tumor, and it appears to be a very fast-growing type tumor. And if we don't dissolve it in 6 weeks, we will have to do another operation." I said, "I'll schedule my next appointment." She said, "Well, do you have any questions?" I said, "No, I have no questions. Because I know all she can do is give me the facts. That's all the facts I need, what she told me. Have another appointment. I'm not going to open my door of my heart to more facts." See, don't go to Mr. Google to get information about what a doctor has told you. Mr. Google's not your friend. Amen. Don't go to the library. Don't go to Mr. Google to research a negative report. You get into the Word of God. I said, "No, I don't need it. I'm not asking you any questions." Then, so what I did was I left the doctor's office. I walked across the parking lot, and I got in my car, and the first thing I did was I took a couple of deep breaths. Seriously, sometimes you just take a couple deep breaths and calm yourself down. When you get a negative report, seriously, that can just help calm you down. And the next thing I did was I said to myself, "Don't panic." Very easy to panic when you get an evil negative report. And I sat in my car a little longer and I began to think about Joshua and Caleb and how they were the only two spies that entered the promised land because they were the only two that refused an evil report. And I said to myself, "I give no place to this evil report. I give no place to a malignant tumor, and I give no place to benign tumor. I don't want either one. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, there will not be any need for an operation." And then I said something very important. I spoke to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I want another miracle. So I'm asking you to tell me what is my part in receiving another miracle. I'm not going to sit around in a waiting room. I want to know what is my part in receiving another miracle." See, most people don't do that. They think, "Well, God's going to do it. He'll do it." No, you have a part to play. Yeah. Just like with finances. If you don't sow, he can't multiply. Right. You know, he says, "Give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over." But you have to do your part. It's the same with healing. Lord, what is my part to receive another miracle? So I was scheduled to go have lunch with my friend, but I canceled that because I just asked for a miracle. There's a price to pay, folks, if you want a miracle. You can't sit around in a waiting room, and you just can't be flippant about a miracle. So I changed my priorities, and I went home, and I'm going to take God's medicine. I'm going to look at every healing scripture. I'm going to read it out loud. I'm going to hear myself speak it. I'm going to meditate on that. I'm going to take you can take God's medicine looking at a healing scripture every hour on the hour. That's the dosage that you can take if you've got something going on in your body. Double up, triple up. You cannot overdose on God's medicine, and it has no negative side effects. So I'm going home. I'm taking all the medicine that I can take. And then I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you how important it is that you spend much time praying in the Holy Ghost. If you ask the Lord a question and you give him just 1 minute to answer, you may not hear. Just like if you were to go on a tour someplace, the longer the tour, the more you see. The more time you spend with the Holy Spirit, the more He has time to show you and reveal things to you. So I'm going to go home and I'm praying much in the Holy Spirit because my whole focus is to receive a miracle. And I'm going to pay the price, whatever it takes. And then I decided I'm going to fast one meal a day because I know when I fast, it causes the ear of my spirit to be more in tune with the voice of my Father. I asked a question. I do not want to miss the answer. You following me so far? Then the next thing I did was in James chapter 5 and verse 14. James 5, 14. You know, it says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him be prayed for, anointed with oil. So I went to my pastor, and I asked him to pray for me and anoint me with oil. And so he did. He said, Marilyn, we just agree for complete healing. And so I did that. And so now the doctor had said we have 6 weeks. And so during these whole 6 weeks, so far I've heard nothing. And Brother Hagin used to say, if you hear nothing, sometimes you can go as much by that as if you did hear something. For example, if your children are out playing in the yard and they're having good behavior, every 5 minutes you don't say, that's good, that's good, that's good. No, if they're having a good time and being behaved well, you don't say anything. It's when that ball rolls out into the street and they start running into the street, what are you going to do? Stop! That's how it is with God. If you're doing everything okay, it's just that peace. You may not even hear anything. But you start going through that red light, He's going to say, stop. You will know. So if you don't hear anything, that's a very good indication that everything is going good. So I haven't heard anything for over 5 weeks. I'm thinking, okay, praise the Lord. I'm doing everything right, and I'm expecting my miracle. And so it was now the 6th week. I have to go back to the doctor and have that last checkup. And that's the day. It's going to be on a Monday, and I'm totally believing that I have a miracle on Monday. I was actually so excited to go to the doctor because I'm going to get a miracle and I'm going to testify this is what the Lord has done for me. You know how we are so excited. We want the doctor to come to our church and get saved. And so I'm just all pumped up and I just can't wait to witness to the doctor. This is what my God has done for me. I'm healed and whole. And so I was all excited. I went in for my checkup and the doctor examined me and she said, Marilyn, I'm sorry to tell you, that tumor is still growing. And this time, today, it's the size of a small grapefruit. So tomorrow, Tuesday, you need to go to the hospital and we have to do a lot of tests, take a lot of cameras inside and do a lot of testing. And then I'll call you later and tell you what time surgery will be on Wednesday. Well, when she said the tumor has grown, it was kind of like I just kind of checked out. And I thought, no, and I'm speaking into the spirit realm under my breath. No, that can't. The doctor is not cooperating with me. That's not what the doctor's supposed to say the tumor's gone. And I'm just thinking, no, that cannot be. I'm a doer of the word. I have tithing rights. I'm the healed of the Lord. And it was kind of like I was facing a spiritual junction in the realm of the spirit. And I could turn to the left. I could turn to the right. It was kind of like I'd hear the devil laughing at me. And he said, you got that one miracle one time, but don't think you're going to get another. Isn't that just like the devil? And then the doctor on the other side was saying all these negative things about they expect me to hemorrhage during surgery. So-and-so is going to also be in the operating room. It's just these negative reports coming at me. And I thought, no, I'm going to stay anchored on what the word says, that no weapon formed against me will prosper, that by his stripes I am healed. I am healed now. And I'm just going to stay anchored. And the doctor says, Marilyn, are you listening to me? Well, no, I wasn't at that point. I'm just dealing with some things in the realm of the spirit. She said, you have to go to the hospital tomorrow. I said, I heard you. Okay, I will go. I'll go. I'll keep my appointment. You see, I'm going to mix wisdom with my faith. But I am expecting a supernatural miracle. I'm expecting my supernatural helper to say something to me to help me to show you what is my part to receive a miracle. Now, let me just say that there's nothing wrong with having an operation. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's just where I was at that point in my life, been there, done that. Now I want a miracle. Don't want to go through surgery. But again, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. You always believe for a speedy recovery. But I said to the doctor, yes, I will go tomorrow and have the test taken at the hospital. So I woke up Tuesday morning and I'm taking God's medicine. All of a sudden I heard my helper, my supernatural helper spoke to me. And he said, go to church this morning. They have the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. Now remember I said, I already did that. So right away I said, oh God, I already did that. I was so excited. I was ahead of God. I thought, praise the Lord. I already did that. As if he didn't know. And then he spoke the second time very firmly. He says, I said, go to church today and have the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. I thought, this is God talking. Yes, yes, Lord, I'm on my way. And immediately I thought about Naaman, who had to dip in the River Jordan 7 times. That wasn't logical to Naaman. He did not want to do that. He said, that makes no sense. I ought to be able to dip in this river once. It's much cleaner. The other river is dirty. That's not logical to Naaman. He wasn't going to do it. He's reaching into his mind to think about, no, that's not a good idea. Until the handmaiden said, if I was you, I would obey the voice of the Lord. And so he did, and he was healed. And I said, yes, Lord, I'm on my way. I went to the church, and the pastor prayed, anointed me with oil. But before he prayed, he says, Marilyn, what exactly do you want me to agree with you on? I said, Pastor, I want you to agree with me today that when those tests are taken, the results today will show there's absolutely nothing there. And he said, if that's where your faith is, I'll hook mine up with yours. And so he prayed, agreed with me, and I went to the hospital, and I had all those tests taken. It took several hours, and then at 5 o'clock, the doctor said that she would call me at 5 o'clock and give me the results and tell me what time to be at the hospital for surgery on Wednesday. 5 o'clock promptly, she called me. And she said, I need you to come into the office. I said, well, just tell me over the phone. What were the results? She said, well, today, the results show there's absolutely nothing there. She quoted, praise God, she quoted my exact words. And she said, before I do an operation, I need to do another examination. So I went in and she examined me and she said, well, Marilyn, you are my first miracle patient. Hallelujah. Now, let me say something really, really critical. I was expecting my miracle on Monday. It came on Tuesday. I could have missed my miracle when it was only one more day away. Had I given place to logic and reason, I've already been to church, the pastor's already anointed me with oil. Logic could have said, well, what was wrong with the pastor's prayers the first time? Oh, maybe it was the oil. Maybe it was rancid. We need to get fresh oil. No, you don't get logical and reasonable when it comes to the things of God. You just obey. Now, I want to show you an illustration. We have another illustration I want to show you. This is a picture of a calendar. Now, we use calendars all the time. If you were to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, time was made for man. There's a time to be born, a time to die, time to laugh, a time to cry. When people get born, we circle calendars. With somebody's birthday, we circle the calendar. If you have your special summer programs at the church, you circle the calendar. Time was made for man. Look at the next slide. I have here a circle. Now this represents the realm of faith, the realm of miracles. We're in this world, But we don't live in this world. We live by faith. We walk by faith. So there, when I was believing for my miracle from day one, man, I'm in faith. I am believing for a miracle. But then it was about that fifth week. I don't know exactly when it was, but at some point I slipped down into the natural arena. My focus began to be on Monday. I was so excited about Monday. I'm going to get my miracle on Monday. I'm going to testify to the doctor, this is what the Lord has done for me. And when I got that negative report on Monday, I realized when I was facing that junction of the road, right now, this is where I'm going to win or lose the battle. Because sometimes when you're expecting something, it usually doesn't go that way. Amen. That's where you've got to know, I've got to be anchored in faith. There is no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday up here. This is the realm of faith. We have to walk in this realm, even though we live in the natural in this realm. And when I got that negative report, I thought, I slipped down here. I knew I need to make an immediate adjustment. I got back up in here. I thought, I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved but what I see. I'm not moved except by the word of God that says I am healed, that says he will supply all of my needs. He says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. He said, if I give, it will be given unto me. He said, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So I just stayed up there, and then my miracle came the next day. Then I could circle Tuesday. But we can't put God in a box. We can't think it's got to be on Monday's my day, Tuesday my day. No, this is the realm. Does this help you? That this is the realm we have to live in. And that's why it's so important to pray in the Holy Spirit, because you build yourself up. When those tough time comes, it's just like when Jesus spoke to Jairus. And he said, when Jairus got that evil report, he said, fear not, only believe. What do you believe? Only believe what you already confessed in your heart, that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, not going to be. Amen. So I want to pray with you this morning. But you've got to, you know, it takes effort. It does take effort. You know, if you were to read in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 9, verse 2, you know, Jesus, when he would pray to the Father, he always would go alone, and he liked to go up into the mountain and pray and be alone with the Father. But on this particular day, he invited Peter, James, and John to go with him. It says they went up a high mountain on that particular day. Now, Jesus was used to climbing the mountains. He's a mountain climber. Peter, James, and John, they always stayed down behind. But this day, they're invited to go with him to climb a high mountain. I'm sure halfway up, they're probably huffing and a puffing. And maybe Jesus shouted out, are we there yet? Are we there yet? But when they got to the top of that mountain and they witnessed the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, it was worth all the effort. You know, things happen on the mountaintop that just don't happen in the valley below. It takes effort. And that's why you need the Holy Spirit to be in you. And he's in you the minute you get born again, but to strengthen you. He is there to help you. He is not the doer. He is the helper. Amen. And if there's anybody here today and you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, you don't have that supernatural helper on the inside of you. I want you all just to close your eyes quickly and focus on the love of God. If you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, that is the most powerful, that is the greatest miracle you will ever have, because that's when your spirit comes alive to the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty. It's the most simple prayer. All you have to say is, Jesus, I do believe you are the Son of God, and I invite you to come into my life today. When you do that, two things happen. You are guaranteed a home in heaven when you leave this earth, but you are also guaranteed that while you're on this earth, the Holy Spirit Spirit will be with you every breathing moment to help you. If that's you today and you would like me to pray with you, I want you just to lift your hand real high. Anybody at all, you've never prayed that prayer. I see several hands going up. Hallelujah.